Hey, just curious, raise your hand and keep them up until I'm done asking the question, but how many of you this Christmas got a new computer or a new smartphone, like an iPhone, a Galaxy, an Android, whatever, or a new iPad, tablet, Surface, Yoga, Nexus, whatever? How many of you got some technical thing for Christmas this year? One? Two? Okay, a couple. Yeah, okay, all right. So how many of you already own one or more of those things? All right, so I'll get you all into it here. So how about this? Anybody get a new Apple Watch for Christmas? Anybody get an Apple Watch? How about any other kind of smartphone watch that pairs with your phone? Anybody? Over here? All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm still trying to decide about the Apple Watch because I'm a gadget guy, but I'm not sure about the watch yet. But if I got one, this is the one I would get. This is the one that's has this like neat leather band, and it's about $700, so I'm not sure about getting that yet. But I'm not sure about it because I was born in 1954, and that's in the last century, and so that was a long time ago, and back then, there was no discernible correlation between your phone and your watch. I mean, you had a rotary phone, and you had a wristwatch, and there was no correlation between the two, except in the funny papers in the comics with Dick Tracy, who spoke on his little wrist phone. He was way ahead of the time. How many of you remember Dick Tracy? All right, you're from the last century too. So, but in real life, you had a phone, you had a watch, and they worked independently of each other. And if you wanted to use your phone, you went over and you dialed your phone, and some of them had a cord that would go maybe 10 feet. That's as far as you could go with your phone. And if you wanted to tell time, you strapped on your wristwatch, and you would wind up your watch, and it would run down, and you have to wind it up again. Now, today, in this century, there's a direct correlation between a watch and a phone because they have to be paired with one another. And so if there's something wrong with your watch, you've got to go to your phone settings to fix your watch. Now, how crazy is that? In fact, you could say, in the technical world we live in today, your technical life happens in your settings, and if your settings aren't right, nothing works right. Every now and then, Karen will call me up in the middle of the day, and she'll say, my phone's not working right, and I'll ask her what's going on, and so the first thing I say is check your settings. You get home at the end of the day, you sit down to your computer, you got no internet connection, what do? You check your settings. You get on an airplane, pilot comes over the loudspeaker and he says, put your phone in airplane mode. You got to go to your settings to make sure your phone is set to airplane mode. You got a powered Bluetooth speaker that you use with your phone or iPad or computer, whatever. It's not working. You have to check your Bluetooth settings. You're in a group text message with 15 people and your stinking phone is dinging every 3 seconds and you can't stand it any longer, so what do? You might not know this trick, I'll tell you. You scroll to the end of the text string and at the bottom there's a little place, a little setting that says leave the conversation. Now, if you check that, just be aware, and this happened to me the other day, I didn't know this, you check leave the conversation, then it says everybody in the string goes, Charlie left the conversation. So they all know that you're not there anymore. So what you do, you don't check that setting, you check the next setting, do not disturb, and nobody will know that you're not listening anymore. Because I already made my comment and have my little emoji face on there, and I'm done with it. So you hit do not disturb. It's a settings thing, and in today's high-tech world, you constantly have to check your settings to keep things working properly. Because why? Because if your settings aren't right, nothing works right. Now, interestingly enough, the same is true in your spiritual life. The Bible talks about our settings as well. Now, to set something is to establish something in place or position. Like a sailboat, you set a sail. You set the sail to catch the wind. Things in concrete to make them firm and unmovable. You set your GPS to arrive at a destination. And the Bible tells us that when it comes to living in a personal relationship with God, your spiritual settings have to be set right, because where you end up in life will be determined in large part by how you are set. Now, by the way, if this is your first time with us today, I want to welcome you. We're glad that you've chosen to worship with us. I want you to know that most Sunday mornings we are teaching our way, studying our way through whole books of the Bible, and our current study is the book of Acts. We've been at most of the year, and after the next 4 weeks, we're going to go back into Acts and finish by the summer. But as we kick off the new year, we're kind of taking a break from Acts with a kind of back to basics reset, a short 4 week series that we're calling Check Your Settings System Update 2016. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to zero in on four topics: read, serve, give, pray. Read, serve, give, pray, which are some of the most basic settings of the Christian life. And this morning, we're starting with read. Now, when I think about reading God's Word, I think about listening to God's voice. To me, reading is hearing, because this book is the Word of God. It's God's voice speaking to us. And so I like to think of it, and when I read, I'm listening to what God has said and letting what God says work its way deep into the core of my being. And that's what it's all about, is letting the Word of God go deep into your heart and mind so you apply what you read and listen to your everyday life. So as a follower of Jesus, keeping your nose in this book is really the most basic setting of all. At least that's what Jesus says. Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus is in a heated discussion about who he is and what he's come to do with the religious authorities of his day. And in the middle of this debate, we're told that a group of Jews placed their faith in him. They came to believe in him. And they came to believe that Jesus was, in fact, the long-promised Messiah of Israel. And so Jesus turns to those Jews who had believed in him, and he says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word." Now, I think we too often forget that, because I think we think the truth comes to us somehow by osmosis. But the only way that the truth will set you free is if you know the truth. It's not the truth you don't know that'll set you free. It's the truth that you do know that will set you free. And Jesus says you need to be reading the Word and listening to the Word and abiding in the Word of God to know the truth that'll set you free, which raises an important question if you're a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you've placed your faith in Christ, trusted Him to forgive your sins and to give you new life. You also know that the Bible teaches that as a Christian, God has set you free from your old life. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, "You were called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-centeredness." That's my paraphrase. Now, I want you to think about that. You were called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-centeredness. Now, why does Paul have to tell people who have been set free in Christ to not use their freedom as an opportunity for selfishness? It's because of this. It's because it's possible to be free, but not live free. It's possible to be free, but not live free. Now, think about that. Why, as a Christian, do we still continue to struggle with things like anger and guilt and lust and shame and sexual impurity and greed and envy and dishonesty and bitterness and unforgiveness and a negative critical spirit, some kind of drug or alcohol addiction? I mean, the Bible says that all those things are part of the old life. They're characterized people who don't know God. But when you trust Christ for salvation, you become a new person at the core of your being. Your spirit is reborn because Jesus puts his very own spirit inside you to set you free from the sins of the old life. Okay, so why do we still struggle with all these kinds of things? Why, if we have been set free, are we not free? Why do I have freedom over some of those things, but not all of those things? Why do I have freedom for a day or a week or maybe a month or two over one or more of those things, but then that thing gets resurrected and comes back again? It's because our settings aren't right. It's because our settings aren't right. We have to abide in God's Word, constantly remain in His Word in order to live free. Think of it this way. Now, for those of you that are here today and you consider yourself to be a Christian, think back to the time when you first became a Christian. Maybe you walked an aisle in a church when the preacher gave an invitation. Maybe it was recently, within the last couple of years, you raised your hand in one of our services when I invited you to trust Christ to forgive your sins and give you a new life, and you trusted him. Maybe a friend in college or at work shared the gospel with you, or a parent or a teacher shared the gospel with you, and you prayed to receive Christ. Now listen, when you first became a Christian, if you had cellulite, then after you became a Christian, you still had cellulite, right? So where's he going with this? Stay with me. When you became a Christian, if you were physically out of shape, after you became a Christian, you were still physically out of shape, because until you get on the treadmill and stop eating Krispy Kremes, you'll stay that way. Now, we all get that. It makes sense, right? My body isn't made new when my spirit is made new. My body isn't born again when my spirit is born again. We get that. We get it when it comes to our body, but we don't get it when it comes to our heart and mind. Spiritually speaking, when you put your faith in Christ, you've put on a new self. You've received a new identity. You are in Christ and he is in you. Spiritually speaking, you've had a critical system update because you went from being dead in trespasses and sins to being made alive in Christ. But physically, you're the same, and mentally and emotionally, your settings are pretty much the same, because if you came to Christ with wounds and scars and hurts in your background from people doing you wrong or you doing wrong, then those things will probably still have some influence over your life at some point, and because you can still slip back into those old ways, maybe not right at first, but at least some of those things may come back because they're in your settings. So what I'm saying is this. When you trust Christ for salvation, Jesus makes you new and sets you free. But to live free, you need to continually check your settings to make sure you're abiding in God's Word. Now, I want to show you this in Scripture. I'm going to show you everything that I just said. I'm going to show you in a key passage of Scripture. So take your Bible, or your smartphone, or your tablet, or your watch. Can you have your Bible on your watch? If so, that might kick me over. I don't know. But anyway, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to just read this scripture straight through. I'm going to make a couple of observations and highlight a few things along the way. But for the most part, I'm just going to read the passage and let it speak for itself, because this passage is the foundation of everything I just said. And this passage speaks directly to our ongoing need to check our settings and reset our settings. All right? Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now look at this. Here's the settings. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, if you trusted Christ for salvation, then verse 3, you died, and God's made you alive in Christ. But look what he also says. He also says that people who have been made new need to set your mind on things that transcend this world, on the truth that transcends this world. Now, in the Greek, the word mind involves not only your thought life, but your emotional life as well. It's mind and heart together, and you're going to see the word heart all through the rest of the passage that I'm about to read, and I think that's why the old King James translates set your mind as set your affections on things above, set your affections, which I think is spot on. Now, the question is, are your affections set on God, on who he is, and on the things that he's working into your life, and how he's working in the world, his agenda in the world, and what's going to happen at the end? Is that where your affections are set? You say, well, how do you know? Well, you have to check your heart settings. You check the things that you love, the things you want, the things that you think you need. You check your heart, what direction your heart is being drawn. And you also set your mind. You set your heart, you set your mind. The flip side of the same coin, you check your thought life. Check your thought life. because what you think determines how you feel. So you check your train of thought. Is your mind set on the things that really matter when Jesus comes back and you meet him face to face? Now, that little block right there was the summary of the rest of the message. So I'm going to unpack that whole little piece right there. Now, before I do, I'm going to say this. This is not automatic. Your settings have to be reset. You have to constantly set your heart. You have to constantly set your mind, which is just another way of saying, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, now, so the question is, free from what? Verse 5. Look at verse 5. Paul says, put to death. You've died with Christ, but you got to put to death something. Put to death whatever is earthly in you. Earthly in you. So free from what? Well, free from what is earthly in you. Well, what in the world is that? Well, it's that part of you that is still drawn to the things of this broken world that promised that you can find life apart from God. It's your bodily, physical desires and your heart and your mind. All those parts of who you are still have the capacity to be deceived into thinking that you can find life apart from God, and those things can still enslave you. What things? Well, he's going to run a list here, verse 5. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming, and in these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now that you've become a new person in Christ, you must put them all away. In other words, why would a new person have to put them away? Because some of these things are still hanging around. And here's more of the things that enslave you. Anger, rage, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Look at this. The new self, which is being renewed. The new self is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creators. Here in Christ, there is no racism or class distinction. No Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. So verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now here's what free people look like. People with compassionate hearts, kind, humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Compassionate hearts, peace of Christ in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now look at this. This is John 8:31 and 32 applied to an entire congregation, not just individually. This is to an entire congregation. Let the word of Christ abide, dwell in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God in whatever you do in word or deed. Do everything you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now look at this. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, parents, do not provoke your children, lest any become discouraged. So we're going to stop right there. But do you see what Paul is saying? Again, he's saying, when you trusted Christ for salvation, you were made new. Jesus set you free from the earthly centered life you once lived. But to live free from all these things, to live out the new spiritual person that you already are, you have to set your heart and your mind on God and what the Word of Christ teaches you about who you are and where real life can be found. He's saying, using my metaphor, if your settings aren't right, you'll fall back into the mind and heart sin patterns of the old life, of the kind of life of people who don't know God, the kind of life they live. You won't be able to experience the freedom of being people who are compassionate, kind, loving, forgiving, patient, honest. And he gets really practical here. He says, if your settings aren't right, it'll affect your marriage and family. He says, wives will be set on getting their way, and husbands will be set on controlling everything to get their way, and children will go their own way, And parents will be too hard on their kids, trying to force them to go their way, the right way, but using anger that'll be reproduced in their kids. He's saying, if your settings aren't right, your whole family suffers. In other words, everything gets messed up if your settings are messed up. Everything gets messed up if your settings are messed up. Now, by the way, hear me. There's nothing in this passage about behavior modification. In fact, there's nothing in this passage about, there's nothing in Christianity about behavior modification. Christianity is about heart transformation. And when you trust Christ for salvation, God makes you new, Jesus sets you free, but we are called to set our hearts and minds on knowing the truth that keeps us free. Follow me? Now, we're going to get more specific because we're going to look at mind and heart. So this whole idea of setting our hearts and minds on the things above is the foundation of this whole passage. So we need to get our minds around what he's talking about. So let's start with the heart. Number one, set your heart. Proverbs 4:23 puts it like this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That should get our attention. He says, above all else, he says, there's nothing more important than this, and that is that we need to guard. We, not God, not the pastor, not your accountability partner, you need to set a guard over your heart. Now, we guard our homes, and we guard our cars, and we guard our possessions, but it's amazing what we let into our hearts. And there ought to be a guard on our heart that says, I'm not letting offense in. I'm not letting bitterness in. I'm not letting anger in. I'm not letting slander or guilt or lust or unforgiveness in. And the way that you guard your heart against those things is by abiding in the Word of God, because the world, for sure, is not going to tell you not to let those things in. In fact, if you watch too much of that stuff on TV or you read too much of that stuff in social media, you're going to end up feeling totally justified to hold on to your offense, your bitterness, your forgiveness, because that's the way the world operates. And that which is still earthly in you will be drawn to the way the world operates. And if you hang around grumbling, complaining Christians, they'll help you stay there too. That's why Jesus said you need to be in the Word every day, because the Word will tell you the truth, and only the truth you know, will set you free, because it will guard your heart. And if your heart is set right, your whole life is set right, will be right. What sets your heart right is what Jesus tells you, and not what Oprah tells you, or what your favorite politician tells you, or what your friends tell you, or what you tell yourself. But see, for a lot of us, we got a lot of toxicity in our hearts because we're not abiding in the Word, because we're not reading the Word and letting the Word read us, and we're allowing self-centeredness to clog our spiritual heart arteries, and our hearts get full of what? Plaque. I mean, what's plaque? Well, anger, rage, malice, slander, unforgiveness, offense, envy, greed, guilt. Got real quiet in here. I mean, look. A lot of us are headed for a spiritual coronary because we don't deal with the offenses, we don't deal with the bitterness, we don't deal with the unforgiveness that gets in our hearts, and those things have the power to enslave you, to enslave a Christian, and it'll ruin us and it'll ruin relationships. And the problem is, some of us are headed toward the spiritual heart attack and we don't even know it. We don't even know it because we don't allow the Word of God, listen, we don't allow the Word of God to go deep into our hearts and hold a mirror up to show us what's really going on. Now, that's why the James, the half-brother of Jesus, he speaks directly to this in James 1:23 and 25. He says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And that's a foolish person, he said. Now, but whoever looks intently into the mirror, the perfect law, whoever looks into God's Word. Now, look at this. Look at this. This is John 8:31 and 32. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. Freedom and continues in it. Abide. That's exactly what Jesus said. Not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. They'll be blessed in whatever they do. How you set your heart determines the direction of your life. God, now, this is telling us that God uses his word to show us what's really going on in his in our hearts, to show us who we really are in Christ, to show us the earthly things that keep tripping us up. But if we're not reading the word, and if we're not listening to the word, and we're not letting the word be a mirror to our hearts to show us what settings need to be changed, then watch out, because you'll end up in a place that you don't want to be. Some of us, we can't stay committed relationally. Some of us, we refuse to let go of trying to control every single detail of our lives. Some of us have no self-control. Some of us can't take correction. Some of us are easily offended. Why? Because our heart settings aren't right. And that's why the Spirit says, guard your heart. Watch what you let into your heart. And what complicates this even more is this crazy, mixed up, broken world we live in, because this world we live in is so full of pain and suffering and hurt and fear and disappointment and violence and injustice and wrongdoing, and people today are overwhelmed, right? I mean, people are freaking out today. People are overwhelmed. I mean, you ever feel overwhelmed at the end of the day when you look at what's going on in our world? Of course you do. I do. Everybody does. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. In the midst of terrible adversity, Paul says, we do not lose heart. And Jesus tells us when we're overwhelmed by the worries and cares of this world, he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Now, here's the word of God abiding in your heart will help you overcome. And see, I think we're overwhelmed because we forget that Jesus has overcome. We're overwhelmed because we forget Jesus has overcome. And every day when you wake up in the morning, and every afternoon when you sit down and watch the evening news, and every night when you lay your head on the pillow before you go to sleep, you have to take heart so you don't lose heart. Well, how do you do that? By guarding your heart. How do you do that? By setting your heart on Jesus and his word. How do you do that? By abiding in God's word. See how it all ties together? Bible only has about 12 or 13 ideas in it, and it all says the same thing over and over again, and they're all tied together. Now, I hope that's why you're here this morning, to check your settings so that you take heart in a world that's losing heart. I mean, it's why we sing the word and preach the word and read the word and hear the word and study the word and seek together to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, to seek together in community to abide in the word. Because look, when you and I walk out these doors this morning, listen, there will always be some kind of economic crisis. There will always be some kind of political crisis. There will always be some kind of moral crisis. There will always be some kind of external crisis. But if we set our hearts on eternal things rather than external things, if we set our minds on God and the gospel, then we are making a decision to take heart and not be overwhelmed when the rest of the world is freaking out. So the question is, where is your heart set this morning? Jesus says, if, that's conditional. You see, if you abide in my word, if you live in it and let it live in you, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free to take heart when everyone else is losing heart. So you set your heart by guarding your heart by abiding in God's word. You set your heart by guarding your heart by abiding in God's word. All ties together. All makes sense. All right, set your heart. Now, it also says set your mind. And the only way, again, we're going to be able to navigate this crazy world we live in that's getting crazier by the moment, is we have to have this eternal perspective. An eternal perspective empowers you to endure the external problems you face every day. An eternal perspective empowers you to endure the external problems you face on a daily basis. If your mind is set on earthly problems, political, social, relational, economic, moral, religious, if you set your mind on those things, trying to figure it all out and make it all come out right, then you'll be pulled into anger and malice and slander and anxiety and unbelief and self-protection, and all those things can enslave you. They do not set you free. Now, hear me and hear me well. I am not saying not to think about those things. Of course you're going to think about political things and social things and economic. Of course you're going to think about those things. You just don't set your mind and heart on those things as if they could provide any hope for you. You set your mind on things above, on eternal things, while you navigate the earthly things. And you have hope when you have an eternal perspective, because we know how the story ends. There's way too many Christians running around like Christian Little, or Chicken Little. Little pun there. But they're running around and they're saying, sky is falling, sky is falling, sky is falling. Listen, the sky is not going to fall, but we just sang about it. But it is going to, the clouds are going to roll back, and the trumpet will sound, and the Lord will descend, and his kingdom will come, and his will be done, and his justice will roll down like waters. And if you've been raised up with Christ, you'll forever be with him in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1 and Colossians 3:3, you will also appear with him in glory. We know how its story ends, and we're going to be a part. We're on the winning team. So the question is, where is your mindset this morning? Or even better than that, it's easy to kind of have your mindset when you come in here. The better question is, where is your mindset throughout the week? Problem is, a lot of us don't set our minds. We don't think we can set our minds, because we don't think about what we're thinking about. We just don't think about what we're thinking about. My mentor, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it over and over again, but my mentor, Haddon Robinson, used to say, thinking is hard work, but thinking about thinking is harder work. Thinking about thinking is harder work. And most of us don't ever stop to think about what we're thinking about. We just allow the first train of thought that jumps into our brain to be the train we get on, and we take that train and we ride it to wherever it's going to take us, which is not always a good place. Now, how many of you have seen the Disney Pixar movie Inside Out? How many of you have seen Inside Out? Okay. Our family watched it over Christmas. Absolutely amazing, incredible, phenomenal movie. You have to see this movie. It's all about how the mind of a little girl named Riley works. Never seen anything quite so creative in all my life, because it's about her thought life and about how her thoughts impact and control her emotional life, how her thought life is controls her emotional life. And at one point in the movie, two personified emotions, joy and sadness, can you guess which is which? Joy and sadness are desperately trying to catch Riley's train of thought back to headquarters, the control room, where core memories are set. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. You have to see this movie. I think your small group ought to see the movie. We may show it on Sunday morning sometime. It is great. It's just, it's phenomenal. But anyway, I wonder when you last thought about what you thought about. Have you thought about why, when you get to the end of a day, why is it at the end of some days you're angry or depressed or overwhelmed or in a negative pattern? How does that happen? Well, if you get on the wrong train of thought, you'll end up in the wrong place emotionally. You get on the wrong train of thought, you're going to end up in the wrong place emotionally. It's not rocket science here. Somewhere along, you got on the wrong thought train, and the thought train has taken you not to freedom, but to frustration or fear or falling into the same old sin pattern. And look, I know personally what I'm talking about, because I'm preaching this sermon to me. And if you go, oh, that would never happen to Pastor Charlie, just ask this woman right over here, and she can fill you in on the truth about me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you ever get to the end of the day and you go, God, how did I get here again? I mean, I started the day so well. And God says, well, you got on the wrong train of thought, didn't you? I mean, you just jumped on that same old train that took you to the same old anger that you have with your parents, or the same frustration with your spouse or your kids or your boss, the same fear over finances, the same old fear that nothing's ever going to change. And you just got on the same old train and you ended up in the same old place. I mean, it is crazy when I think about my life. I mean, you would think that by now I would know the destination of my thought trains. I mean, you would think, by now, I would think, wait a minute, I know where this train is going, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'm going to wait for the train. It'll take me to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I'm going to wait for the train that'll take me to whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's lovely, whatever's praiseworthy. I'm going to get on that train. But here's the deal. I will only be able to discern the Spirit's train of thought as opposed to my own self-centered train of thought if I go to the settings. and set my mind on Jesus and his word. So where is your mind set? Your mind set determines your destiny. It determines the outcome of everything in your life. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 2 said, don't be conformed to the old patterns of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, by resetting your mind. Then you'll be able to discern and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect, pleasing will. So you got to set new train tracks in your mind that will run to love, joy, peace, patience, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's lovely, praiseworthy. You got to set new train tracks, and you do that. You can set that. You can choose your thoughts. There's a whole science committed to this, and I've talked about it in previous messages. It's the science of neuroplasticity, and science is just catching up with what the Bible's always said. Don't be conformed to those old trains of thought, but be transformed by resetting, by laying new track, by setting your mind on eternal things, on God and on his word and on the world to come. And you got to keep doing this because your default settings are earthly. Isn't that what Paul said in Colossians 3? You got to keep putting to death what is earthly in you. And you got triggers that will influence you to take the wrong train of thought. So you got to keep resetting your settings. You got to keep resetting your settings, but you won't be able to reset your settings if you don't know God's word and if you're not abiding in the word and letting it go deep and show you the mirror and say, look, here's who you are in Christ. You see that? And now look at how you're living over here and look at how you're thinking. Does that, these two match up? No, they don't match up. I heard a mom tell a story a while back that I think illustrates everything I've been saying this morning pretty well. These parents have this little daughter who's 5 years old. It was several years ago, so she's older now, but I'm going to change the name. We'll just say the daughter's name's Christine. But every single day, this mom and this dad, they would tell Christine how much they love her and how she's beautifully and wonderfully made by God. And they'd tell her that she's a woman of God and she's going to grow up to be a godly woman and marry a godly man, and that she's a leader and not a follower, and that she's loved and she's cherished, and that she's beautiful and that she's intelligent. And her dad does that this every evening, and when he goes up and he prays with her, he tells her these kinds of things, and he tucks her into bed, and every time he goes out of town, he always gets with his little daughter and tells her how much she's loved and that she's beautiful and intelligent. And so one day, the child goes to kindergarten, and of course, those are not the kind of things that kids say to one another in kindergarten. But one day when the mom picked her daughter up from school, the teacher told the mom that her daughter had gotten into a fight with a little boy in the classroom. And the teacher said the little boy had taken her teddy bear away, and he said to her, Christine, you are dumb and ugly. And the teacher said, you should have seen your daughter. You should have seen her, because she put her shoulders back, and the mom thought the teacher was going to say, and she hauled off and cleaned his clock, but didn't say that. She said, the teacher said, she put her shoulders back and she looked that boy in the eye and she says, no, I am not. My daddy says I am beautiful and intelligent. Now, at 5 years old, all that mattered to her was what her daddy said. All that she knew was what her daddy said. Now listen, if you and I are going to navigate what the enemy throws at us day and night, we need to abide in his word, because then we'll know the truth. And when the enemy comes to take away what's rightfully ours, when the enemy comes and calls us names, then we can say, oh no, my daddy says. No, my daddy says I'm a son or a daughter of the king. My daddy says he has a plan and a purpose for my life. My daddy says I am called, I am chosen, I am loved, I am cherished, I am forgiven. I am free, and I don't have to listen to your lies because my daddy tells me different. See how it all fits together. You need to know what your Heavenly Father says, because you're going to need to be able to stand up to the evil one when he comes at you with his lies. You need to be able to contradict those old thought patterns with the truth, because if you abide in God's word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says that. The author of Proverbs says that. Paul says that. James says that. David says that. All says the same thing. Now, so one of the habits we need to cultivate in order to abide in the Word is to daily go into the settings, into your settings, and turn on read. So any resemblance to an iPhone is just in your imagination, but you need to go into your settings and turn on read. And to help you do that, we're encouraging you to use the Storyline Bible Reading Plan we used last year. And you can find the Storyline Bible Reading Plan on our website. It will be on our new and improved app, which we're going to come out next week, and I'll say something about that. And it will be available on paper bookmarks out at the Information Center. Now, the new app is not quite ready, but Lord willing, next week it will be, and we're going to all download the new Fellowship Greenville Church app together, and we're going to walk you through how to use it. Now, this year we are calling this year's plan Storyline Plus, because with each day's Bible reading, we're going to include the daily prayer from our prayer collective, and some of you have picked this up. So if you make it a habit of listening to the Word of God in your car as you're going to work or as you're driving around town, you'll be able to go to the app, hit play, and you'll hear the daily prayer plus the daily Bible reading. It'll all be wrapped together. Now, let me say this. I say this every year when we encourage you to do a Bible reading plan, whatever that plan is. The goal of our Bible reading plans is not to have every box checked off by the end of the year, okay? The goal is to simply abide in the Word, to be in the Word, to read the Word on a daily basis. So hear me, if you get behind, don't worry about it. I mean, if you're a couple days behind, you can catch up, but if you get, you go on vacation and everything breaks loose and you get 2 weeks behind, don't go, well, I'm 2 weeks behind, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. No, just look, listen, God can speak to you from the passage of Scripture for that day, even if you've missed 5 days. And so this is a guilt-free plan, guilt-free plan. You don't have to check off all the boxes. If you get behind, just read the passage for the day and keep going. It's really that simple. And we're all going to start the plan, the new plan, on Monday, January 11th, after we've downloaded the app on Sunday, January the 10th. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your Word and for the power of your Word. We thank you that all of us in here have been changed and transformed to some extent by what we have read, what we have heard that's come out of your Word. We've listened to your voice. You've drawn us to yourself. So many of us have put our faith and trust in Christ, and you've made us new and you set us free. But Lord, we struggle day to day to live free from all the stuff that we talked about this morning, all the stuff that Paul points out in Colossians 3. We struggle to live free of that. So Holy Spirit, would you do a work in our hearts? Convince us at the deepest part of who we are to set our mind and set our hearts on Jesus and His Word. Help us to see the need to abide in the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell in us as a church so that we know the truth and the truth will set us free. And then we can say, it's well with my soul when everything's not well around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.